We are commanded by God not to bear false witness. Exodus 20:16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In its most limited sense, it means we're not supposed to lie under oath. But if you think about it, whenever you say anything, you're saying it before the Lord your God. And he is the judge of everything you do. Jesus says, and I think about these words a lot, Matthew 12:36, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word we speak." Our words really matter. Sometimes in kids' Bibles, they reduce the ninth commandment to not telling lies, but this is far too limited. The law has a provision that forbids us from staying silent when we ought to speak the truth. Leviticus 5:1 says, "If anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or has come to know the matter, and yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity." The ninth commandment, the commandment not to bear false witness, means that we are to uphold the truth at all times, in what we say or in what we might be tempted not to say. Our words really do matter, because most of us have been hurt far more by careless words than the nursery rhyme, "Sticks and Stones." Because sticks and stones may break our bones, but words break our hearts, ravage our minds, and leave a lasting impact far after other wounds have healed. I'm going to do a short series on how we speak, primarily about how we speak with those we love, because our circles have become very small in this time. This has been the result. This has caused some good things, but it can also produce tension as we have to deal with issues that come about. This series is called The Four Laws of Communication. I'm going to do it over 4 weeks, and the first week is Law 1, Speak the Truth in Love. Now, this comes from Ephesians chapter 4, 15, and you can open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians for most of the series. Ephesians 4, 15, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." Point one, we must be people of the truth. A truth is more than not telling a lie. You can spread falsehood faster than the devil without technically lying. A lie is purposely speaking something you know not to be true. A lying is very bad, but it's just the bare surface of falsehood. Most falsehood in the world are false things that people sincerely say and sincerely believe. Evolutionists are not lying when they tell us that our grandfather was a monkey because they really believe it. But they are speaking a dangerous and destructive falsehood. Falsehood is, in fact, more dangerous than lies because they are sincere and thereby easier to believe. To be people of the truth, we need far more than a moral renovation of our actions, but a complete revolution of our souls. We need to experience the truth, have the truth inhabit us, live in us. We don't need hearts that feel more guilty about telling lies, but hearts that are of the truth. To quote one of the greatest villains in history, "What is truth?" Or perhaps more accurately, "Who is truth?" John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Jesus is the truth. In every way that we, corrupted towards sin, are bent towards falsehood, and even a shade of falsehood is false, half-truths being the worst kind of lies, Jesus is 100% true in all that he does. We need the truth in us. Ephesians 4, 21-24, "As the truth is in Jesus," look at that, "as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul commands the Ephesians to put off their old self because it is corrupt through deceitful desires. The key words here is deceitful desires. And when you think about this, a desire is something you want. It's a need. It's something that you feel deep down that you just have to have. And deceitful is something that lies to you, tells you one thing and then does another, tricks you in some way. God commands us to live the truth, but our old selves trick us by desiring things that we should not. I often speak to people who don't believe in biblical truth, and they want to argue with me about the morality of this or that thing. And often, when you strip everything away, it comes down to them saying, I just feel like this is true. Now, I know that they're merely parroting back to me some talking points that they've learned by osmosis through their exposure to the media and the internet. But it just shows, in this world, our desires apart from Christ trick us into believing things that we believe deep down, and we think that they come from someplace transcendent deep down inside of us. When the truth is, there is no transcendence inside of us unless Christ is in us. And even when Christ is in us, we can be tricked into believing the sin that still resides in us rather than the Word of God and the Spirit that dwells in us. Truth is not something that we get from our nature. Our nature is deceitful and tells lies. What we need is to have the truth, Jesus Christ, in us. That means communication. Godly communication, speaking the truth, begins with a heart that is changed by Jesus Christ, by repenting of our sins and believing the good news of Jesus. Godly communication begins when we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the truth of Him come and live within us. Because then we can get past this, you know, merely avoiding lying, but actually be people of the truth. Speaking the truth begins by having the truth, Jesus Christ inhabiting us. And as we live out the Christian life, we can learn more and more to obey the command that Paul gives to us here, to put on and to put off. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. We have many lies that remain in us even as Christians. We have lies that we tell ourselves. These voices that tell us that it's all about us, about our worth instead of God's worth. Whether it's the lie to tell us that we're worthless or the lie that tells us we're the most awesome person in the planet. These are lies we must reject because they're taking us away from our focus on Christ. We need to be putting off every lie that comes to us. When it comes to your mind, you need to cast it off. When it comes to your lips, you need to spit it out like you just took a big swig of vinegar. Lies we tell others. This is where this gets personal, because there are ways that I am tempted to lie, and the pulpit makes a terrible confessional booth, but there's no better time for repentance than right now. And I'm always tempted to flattery, and just to say things that are mostly true, or at least true enough to pass. I want people to feel good, but if I'm honest, I just am puffing people up. And it's not primarily to make them feel good about themselves, but for them to feel good about me. I need to put it off. Or exaggeration. You know, just how big was that fish? That part of me that wants to impress people, it's just so deceptive, deadly, dangerous. You need to put this off. Spit it out of your mouth. We often speak. We often say things just to make our own lives easier. But things that aren't entirely aligned with the truth in its fullest sense. God commands us to speak the truth. We must, as we put off our old self, put on our new selves. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. We need to put on the new self, the self that is in the likeness of God, the new self in Jesus Christ. We need to have the truth inhabit us in order that we speak the truth. I was in a courtroom not too long ago, and it was a sentencing, and the judge actually said the words, "Everyone will get a chance to speak their truth." This was in a court of law. And I wanted to stand up. And I was like, this is a court of law. There is no your truth or my truth. There is the truth, the truth. That's why we have judgments. When someone says, this is my truth, what they're generally saying is, this is how I feel. The old saying goes, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. The saying, this is my truth, is a breakdown between the distinction between facts and opinions, but in a clever way, because the statement following, this is my truth, I am angry. Now, it's true that they're angry, and it's a true statement about how someone feels about something. But like opinions, our feelings are often wrong. We do truly feel this way, but our feelings are often the result of indwelling sin. It happens, well, too often, you know, right here in our house. You know, we're trying to have family worship, trying to keep everybody on track, and somebody's up going to the bathroom, another has to get a drink of water, and two others are making faces at each other. And in that moment, my truth is that I feel angry. I want to lift my voice and start indiscriminately punishing everybody. Now, my feelings are a true representation of what is going inside of me, but what is going inside of me is not of the truth. And my feelings are a terrible guide for my actions. My feelings in that moment are driving me towards being reckless towards my children, while only God's truth tells me patiently to discipline them in the Lord. How we feel is how we feel. You can tell somebody your emotional state, but we should never mistake our feelings for the truth. Feelings are a great barometer of what we're doing, but they're a terrible roadmap for our actions. Our emotions are often like a gun that randomly fires in a lot of direction, a lot of energy, but no aim. We need to put on the truth in Jesus Christ. We need to be people of the truth by putting off falsehood day by day, spitting it out of your mouth like vinegar, and by putting on the truth, by having the Spirit live in us, clinging to the truth in God's word above our ever-shifting emotions. When we have the truth, when Jesus Christ has created that revolution in us, we can then learn to speak the truth in love. This brings me to the big question that all of this has been extended prolegomena for. So, you're going out for your 15-year anniversary with your wife. She puts on an old dress that you wore on one of your favorite dates. Now, after a bunch of kids, she squeezes into it, and feeling a little bit unconfident, she looks deep into your eyes and asks you, "Do I look good in this?" Okay, so this is a cheesy setup for a sitcom gag, but it stands in for a whole bunch of issues where we might, in a relationship, feel the need to protect someone from the truth in order to help a situation be better. Like Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. A failure to deal with the truth is often justified to an appeal to the larger good. It goes something like this. A certain husband had a problem with alcohol, and his wife had some idea, but they never really talked about it, and he sincerely didn't want to burden his wife with his problem. Now, this husband never told his wife a lie, but he lived a lie every day. He didn't uphold the truth in what he did. And secrets, I will tell you, hollow you out from the inside and hollow out a relationship day by day. We justify keeping secrets in some appeal to the larger good, but we have no idea what is actually good. Very often, the things that are most painful in the moment are the best things for us in the long term. It is not our job to decide what is the greater good. It is our job to follow what God has commanded us, to do what He says and how we should live. And God says to uphold the truth in everything we say or we should say. We don't know what will result in good. There is only one who's working all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Our job is to follow what He has commanded us, which is to uphold the truth in all that we say. So if you're keeping secrets from someone you shouldn't be, maybe your finances or anything, and you don't want to start a fight, even a divorce, your job is not to protect things for the greater good, but to uphold the truth in all that you say. Jesus modeled this in His life. John 4:17, He's in a conversation with a woman at the well. The woman answered Him and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus was not afraid to confront the hard facts of life, even when it might result in something bad. This lady could have stormed off at that moment, but Jesus stuck to the truth. Now, back to the question, do I look good in this? Well, there is a little more to our original text. Rather, speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Speak the truth in love. There is a certain type of attitude that is partially right, but also very wrong. And that's one that in the name of authenticity or honesty, or just I'm a blunt person, saying things without regard to how they might hurt, demean, or shame someone. James 3:5 says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How a great forest is set ablaze by a small fire." You can use the truth in such a way to cut people down, to wield it like an axe or a chainsaw indiscriminately through people. If we were perfect, we would be able to just speak the truth and it would be easy. But we're not perfect. And our relationship with the truth isn't just we're just saying this because it's true, because we're sinners. We don't just say things to say them. We speak with mixed motives, often sinful motives. We can pick out bits of the truth here or there to cut people down, all merely to service our sinful attitudes. You know, the devil even used the truth, the scripture, to tell a lie to Jesus, and we can do so as well. We can go through life just saying, you know, saying what's on our heart, and do as much good as a lion over there staffing our Sunday school. We must uphold the truth in all we say, but we must do it in love. Speak the truth in love. Which brings me to quote Hathaway, "What is love?" Thankfully, Paul tells us, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." This gives an easy and convenient guide to how we should speak the truth. So I'm saying this thing. Maybe it's, I feel like my spouse is spending too much time on work rather than spending time with me. And I could just say this in a certain way, like, "You're spending way too much time on work and not on me." That might be a way to say it. But when I have this thing to say, I need to put it through. I need to filter it through the lens of love. When I say this, am I saying it patiently? Like, does this need to be said right now when I'm kind of steamed, or should it wait? Kind. Am I saying this thing to someone in a kind tone? Envy or boast? Am I saying this just to put someone down and puff myself up? Arrogance. Am I saying this in a way that exalts myself over them like we're in some sort of verbal boxing match? Rude. Could I say this in a way that is less abrasive? Am I speaking the truth plainly? Or am I, you know, just doing what I feel? It doesn't insist on its own way. Am I just trying to get my own way here? Or is there a way that we can work to God's way instead of just having this match between us? Irritable or resentful? Am I just saying something to stir up trouble? I've been guilty of that before. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Am I taking pleasure in battering you with this truth? Putting you down with this thing that is mostly true? When we are speaking the truth, we should rejoice in the truth. That is, to be happy to align with God's truth. We realize that when we speak, we have many things wrong with us, and we all need to be aligned with God's truth more fully. So, back to our question, does this dress make me look good? We are commanded to speak the truth in love. And so, this is hard. Husbands out there, if your wife no longer really fits in the dress, you kind of have to tell her that. But you have to tell her in a way that fits all the criteria of love that we talked about. So, I imagine something like this. Dear, you don't look like you did 15 years ago. Your body less closely conforms to the images of fashion and magazines and models. But I have 15 years of looking into your eyes that shine back a wealth of love and wisdom. Now, you don't look like you did 15 years ago. You look better to my true eyes that no longer only see the perishable girl that caught my eye in college. But I look in your eyes and I see a deeper and more lasting maturity, grace and wisdom that shines forth in every ounce of your body, spirit, and soul. So, that works. That works for me, and that's how I feel. I think it is the truth, how I feel about my wife. But what if you're in a situation where, you know, your wife maybe isn't taking care of herself? You really have kind of a conversation here. I think you should tell her the truth. Now, part of that truth might be, hey, husband, you're a little bit too vain about appearance. And that's something that your heart has to work on, because you're commanded to love your wife and you got to figure out how to do that. Speak the truth in love. There are some of you out here that have been living in lies far too long. And it might seem impossible to you to come to the truth right now, but you need to right now. If you claim the name of Jesus Christ, he is literally the truth and will not abide by lies. There are some of you out there, maybe in the name of authenticity or bluntness, are taking pleasure in speaking the truth, but not in love. And so I exhort you and I tell you, look through the list. Are you saying this according to the way of love? And put a filter on your mouth and make it a challenge in your houses, in your homes, in your marriages, in your workplaces, on the internet, to speak the truth in love.